Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, Catherine. So what's going on?
It's actually my 21st birthday.
Oh, wow.
That changes things
okay.
a little bit. Okay, my bad.
So I think it's going to be a little worse of a time if I'm not allowed to celebrate that.
Well, the wedding, when we were confused, I thought, well, at least the parents have a say-so because they may be paying for it. But your 21st birthday, why does your parents' opinion matter?
Well, it matters a little bit because I do still live with them for a few more months.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't financially move out for a few more months because of some student loans and stuff. I'm putting myself through college. So it kind of matters because they are throwing the guilt trip. I'm the oldest of four children, so I have three younger siblings.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, saying you should be a good role model. Mm-hmm. You should, you know, that's just not how we do things around here. And they're also saying, you know, you live under our roof.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it a religious? We brought up their religion several times leading up to the conversation. What religion are you?
Southern Baptist.
Okay.
Is part of it, yeah.
Are those the most hardcore in the...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and when you mentioned, like, no dancing in the fellowship hall and stuff like that, it's... Like, they... Now, my parents aren't exactly the hardcore Southern Baptist, but when it comes to the alcohol, they're pretty strict on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it really is sort of a classic example of, if you're under our roof, then you got to live by our rules type deal.
It's that, and also, I know it's a mixture of stuff. Like, I was talking to my dad, and I was like, what were you doing at my age? And he goes, that's exactly why I'm not letting you go out.
That's not the answer you wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly. Unfair. Because, like, oh, I had fun, and I was able to party, but you can't.
And I said, oh, you're so fair. And, you know, alcoholism does run in my family. My mom grew up with an alcoholic father, and it was a bad, bad situation for her. So I can understand why they're coming from, where they're coming from. But I take it very personally because I feel like they're telling me I'm irresponsible and that I'm going to go out and do something stupid or something.
I do feel bad also because you're the oldest that they're putting so much mm-hmm. pressure on you, because I do think that once your siblings get to that point, they're going to lax a little bit.
They won't care.
Yeah.
They always do. Yeah.
Yes.
My siblings can get away with murder right now, and I'm like, punish them.
Yeah. Right. I think they're trying to treat this, taking it more seriously than it should be.
Is there a chance you could do like a don't tell, don't ask, don't tell type deal? Like you spend the night out for a couple of nights or a night or whatever. You go do what you want to do. And then you come home totally sober. And even though they sort of know what you did, it's unspoken.
Yeah.
And nobody gets hurt.
That's what I was kind of thinking about doing is going out with a friend that, you know, they know and all that stuff and being like, yeah, I'm just going to spend the night at her house and we're going to just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to go out dancing. I mean, they don't really know what that means because they're old. So
what would be your perfect 21st birthday?
I don't know, like, just getting out, because just being in Atlanta, just getting out, you know, I don't want to be, like, puking my guts out. That's no fun, but, you know, be able to go to the bar and, like, show my ID and be like, yeah, I'm 21, what now?
You want to go to the cheetah class on Saturday?
That would be fun, but you have to be 21 for that, do you not?
You do.
When's your birthday?
8/8/08.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That is cool.
It's your golden birthday.
So I want to. Yeah, that makes it even worse. It's like I want to celebrate. Like it's a cool day too.
Mm-hmm.
Have you? You have had drinks before?
Can I plead the fifth on that?
Okay, so you have.
Have you been drunk before?
yes.
Okay. Fifth Amendment right again.
Okay, we'll just go ahead and assume things here.
We'll assume.
So what is your question? Like, how do you get around your parents that day?
Yeah, they're just being so, like, it's not even, well, it's semi-close to my birthday, and they're already saying, well, you're not going to go out, and I can't believe that you think you're going to go out and get smashed, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that.
That's not fair. They're not being fair. I think that, you know, they're giving you a hard time because They're coming from a place of fear. Well, no, they're coming from a place of fear, and you're their first kid to reach 21. So again, I think it's harder on you. And I'm wondering whether it's the night of your birthday to go out or to kind of dodge them a little bit, because I'm afraid that they're going to start making plans for you on your birthday.
I have a feeling that's what they're going to be doing. Sorry. Like, I have, like, my dad's brother is already like, yeah, you're going to come to our house. And then I'm like, oh, yay.
So it might be a case where after your birthday, you may just have to postpone it for a day or two and then spend the night with a friend.
404-741-Q100. I wonder if they're not setting this hardcore rule down on you also to set an example for the rest of the family.
That's totally
your younger siblings.
Yeah. Totally what they're doing.
Yeah. But here's why I like just going somewhere else. Then if they know but they don't know, and your brother and sister don't see it, and your parents don't see it, even though they know what was going on, I don't see how that hurts.
Doesn't sound like they're going to be that cool about it.
I was wondering if that's what I should do, just kind of not be around. But then, you know, they're still going to know. They're still going to give me a hard time. But I guess it's easier to put up with their mouths than
That's a tough place to be, because they do have some say because you're still living with them.
Hey, Therese, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I just want to say to her, I'm 23, and I didn't really celebrate my 21st birthday the way I wanted to. And if I could, I would totally take it back in a heartbeat and celebrate it to the fullest, because that's something you're just going to regret one day, because you only turn 21 once. That's your one shot at, you know, just going crazy, but not like, you know, don't do anything stupid, but you get to actually drink to your limit, and you get to have fun. And if you have great friends who will watch you, it's just a great time. It's not something stupid.
Well, I do think, though, stupid. I mean, I have Southern Baptist friends, so you talk about guilt trip. It is a guilt trip. Like, you're going to be, they're going to talk to you. That's why I think they're going to plan something on your birthday. I think they are going to force it to where you don't get to do anything on your birthday like you want. But Jen brought up a great point about you still living with your parents. Now, you said you'll be out of there in a few months?
Right, but not by my birthday.
Well, I understand that, but when are you going to be out?
Probably around September, October.
Do they know you're leaving yet?
Yeah, they know. I just got a job way, way across town, and it's impossible for me to commute. It's about an hour and a half commute one way every day, so it's a really bad commute.
I mean, I understand the 21st birthday, and that's your last chance to blow it out, but I do think that in the back of your mind, there's a consolation, I think, that once you move out, then you may be able to, you know, kind of have another, maybe another celebration. I know you're looking at me, but she's got a Southern Baptist family that she lives with, and I'm telling you.
You got to do it on your 21st.
Yes, even if it's not, it's got to be close, like 48 hours, 72 hours.
Well, especially if it's straight eights, too. I think that's so awesome.
Yes.
Well, it depends on if you're willing to lie to your parents. That's the thing right now. If you're willing to lie to your parents, is the only way you're going to get away with it.
I'm torn between thinking that I have to say the role model-y thing to do, and then way I really want you to handle it.
You talk as the guy whose voice is burned out from drinking and partying.
It is. There are certain milestones in your life, you know, that you look back on fondly or not fondly, but it was that day, that experience, you know, and 21 is one of them.
It definitely is.
And good or bad, your parents want to take that away from you. I don't know. I say just stay away from them for the day and do it the way you want.
Well, if they plan a party for 8808... You know, at midnight, 8-7, you're going to turn 21.
So that's when you go out.
Like, could you do anything that night before? So say your birthday falls on a Saturday, just hypothetically. I don't know what day it falls on. But if you went with them to the party, and then the night before the party, spend the night with your friend.
I didn't think about that.
That's really good.
That's a good point.
Because at midnight.
Move right there. Well done, Jen Hobby.
Well, she's going to be hungover on her birthday. PhD in partying.
But the problem is, if she feels terrible on her birthday,
well,
then.
It doesn't matter.
It's only a couple hours, because it'd be midnight till 2. So she can't hit the ground running too hard, right?
Well, unless she's at a house party first, and then she goes and flashes the idea at midnight, but it doesn't matter.
Well, you'll have to be careful.
Your hangover's an hour and 45 minutes long.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
You have to be careful with how much you do, but I mean, at midnight, that would sort of mark the day. It would, you know, do the whole clock strike midnight thing, go walk up to the bartender, walk up to the police officer, and be like, look at my ID. I'm really 21. Because that was my favorite part. Going up to the bouncers of the clubs that would never even try with a fake ID, and going up to those and having them flash the flashlight on it and look at it front, back, the other side, you're like, ha, that really is me. Let me in.
Well, and your parents will never think about that. Like, if you spend the night with somebody the night before, they will never consider the fact that you're going out.
I gotta just be careful with that story, because when we were in college, we went to visit a friend at a school in Albany on his 21st birthday. And his girlfriend thought it would be funny, so she left the bar like a half hour early and went to the next bar we were going to be at midnight and said, hey, I want to let you know that my boyfriend's coming up. This is what his name is, and he's going to have a real legal ID. Today's his 21st birthday. Confiscate it.
Oh, why, Jack?
And the bouncer goes, okay, that'd be really funny. And she goes, okay, we'll be there in a half hour. Please don't forget. Please don't forget. Please don't forget. And the guy's like, no problem. So then she comes back to the party. We all think it's funny. Well, he goes on break or moves to the back door and relays the message to the next bouncer, but didn't completely understand it. And this bar was famous for having a paper shredder
by
the front door.
Checked it up.
So what the second bouncer heard was, hey, when Bert Weiss comes up, that's a fake ID. Shred it.
Oh, no. And so, it was his real ID on his birthday.
And it was like a Friday night. So, you know... No new license until Monday morning.
Oh, that sucks. That's terrible.
Wouldn't let him in, nothing.
Hey, Allie, you're on Q100.
Have fun.
Hey, I was calling to let the girl know that I think that she should just be honest with her parents.
No way.
And, no? Well, I was in the same situation when I turned 21, and my parents, you know, I grew up with alcoholism running in my family. My parents are really against drinking. My dad's actually a rehab counselor, so he's very adamantly against drinking. And honestly, I just told them, you know, I'm not going to bring alcohol into your house. I'm not going to be disrespectful of you. And I just think that it went over way better than if I would have lied to them about it, because it would have been a lie that would have had to go on for years, because they never would have changed, and I would have had to continue to lie.
Little white lie.
Well, I just think I think when you have conservative parents and you're the oldest and you're the one they're going to cut their teeth on when it comes to discipline, I just don't know if you, I don't know.
I personally, I think I would take the few days afterwards and start partying rather than the day before, because it will always be on her mind that night. Even come midnight, she knows she can't really let loose because she's going to see her parents in a couple of hours. Whereas she waits a couple of days, then she can really have.
But it's not on her birthday. That's the cool part about turning 21 is
that's
it's
true.
On your
that's
birthday.
True. That's true. Hey, Nikki, you're on Q100. You'll be the last call. What's up?
Hi, morning. Just a few comments. I'm a mother of a 21-year-old, and he compromised that position way before his 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Before she's already pled the fifth, so therefore she's already had to.
Right.
I would not compromise the respect that she has for her parents. You know, enlighten them. Go out with them on your birthday. Plan it the weekend before, plan it the weekend after, but don't compromise the respect.
Well, it can be the weekend before because she won't be 21.
Well, I mean,
don't you think as a parent though,
she hasn't been 21 in the past, neither.
Well, don't you think as a parent though, a 21-year-old is an adult?
Definitely. I wish mine actually was 18 and an adult, but you know, sometimes it takes longer. But I just think that, you know, don't enlighten them. Go the weekend after them. You know,
I don't know.
I don't know if enlightening them is the proper word. I think
she's
you're just giving into them.
She says it's more respectful. If you don't that day, just because your parents said you shouldn't.
I know, but a 21-year-old, I really think that some parents need to, you know, lighten up. Yeah, I do.
We need your help on this.
My mom actually went out with me on my 21st birthday.
Oh, my God.
There's an option.
I was there in vision.
Yes.
And I remember walking in, and because I was working that night, and it was like, hey, it's Wendy's 21st birthday. I'm like, oh, happy birthday, Wendy. This is her mom.
Oh, was that the night you worked up with her mom? You hooked up. I remember you coming and telling the stories.
I'm in love with Wendy's mom.
So, Catherine, we gave you a couple of different things you can chew on there.
All right. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Good luck. Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
What do you think you're going to do?
I don't know. I'm probably going to have to spend the night with a friend.
Hold on. Let me just take one more quick call. Mindy, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to tell her that I'm the mother of 5 daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 adult daughters who did a lot of stuff that I never found out about until later. And you only have one chance to celebrate your 21st birthday, and I think you should just go out and do it. Your mom and your dad are going to love you no matter what.
The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Melissa pointed out an email an article to me yesterday that hit close to home because me and intern Carl were talking about this very thing just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's an article about how weak, we'll just say it, how weak our children have become because it's almost like we're coddling, we're too protective, we don't want our children to, you know, experience anything too bad. It's to the point sometimes where we don't want them to experience competition because we don't want somebody to feel bad if they win or lose. So it's a whole article about just how weak our kids are getting and how weak our young sons are getting.
It's probably the single biggest argument or the most often argument that my wife and I have most often with our 5-year-old Hayden is me feeling like she's babying him and she thinking that I come down too hard on him or I push him too hard. In turn, Carl going through the same thing.
Yeah, I go through the same thing. I have a 5-year-old boy too. And I also have two girls. So it's three women in the house. My wife spends a lot of time with my son because I'm always at work or whatnot. And so I'm always going through that. She's doing real good. It's took a long she's gone come a long way. But when he was first born, it's just it's always a power struggle.
It's like it's a tough world out there. Yeah. And I don't know what the compromise is, but it's tough, you know. And I think we're raising this kid. And I think Hayden is a really sensitive kid. And I want him to have that. But I also want him to be able to turn on a switch if he needs to stick up for himself. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not seeing that. And the bottom line is he gets to spend a hell of a lot more time with Stacy during the day because she stays home with the kids than I do. So he's got more of her influence. And we just can't see eye to eye on it, man. And I don't know what the compromise is.
Hey, we need to have a vent. Me and you, bro, we need to have a vent. We just need to vent, man, because my kid's the exact same way. Now, he takes after his mom, which is she's real. You know, she's a sensitive lady, and my son is like that. So I'm just always at him, you know, because like you said, man, it's a cruel, cold world out here. And, you know, you just want to make sure your son is ready to handle all the ignorance that Don Mamas put short.
Well, I want to be able to ask you about the difference between your son and your daughter because I think you'd have to prepare all of them. And I know it's more acceptable for a girl, you know, for we got to teach our boys to be strong, but I think you got to teach all of them to be strong. But as a non-parent, can you give us a specific example of what you're talking about?
You mean where we struggle on him being
like
softer?
Yeah, like what the argument would be over.
Well, okay. Well, one is how to handle when other kids are like pushing Hayden around.
So he's on the playground.
He's on the playground. Somebody's taking his stuff or whatever. I have tried to teach him that you warn the kid that, look, if you push me, I'm going to push you back. If you take my stuff, you can't take my stuff. Where Stacy is, avoid a fight at all costs.
Exactly.
Let it go.
Let it go. That would be one thing. Even in smaller things also, like the way that he competes. Like we had this talk a couple of weeks ago. I want to teach Hayden how to be a good loser. Sometimes I let him win. Sometimes he's got to lose. She believes he's got to win all the time. You got to build his confidence.
Right.
And I'm like, no, sir.
Right. You're not going to win every time, buddy. Right.
Well, and I agree with Jim because I think that there's an idea that all women feel that way, which mm-hmm. I don't think all women feel that way, you know, about how they all want their sons to be sons or whatever. I do think that you have to prepare men and women for right. the world mm-hmm. because women are competing. Sure. Women are playing yeah. sports. Right. Women need to know how to win and lose. And women also need to sure. know, too, because girls pick fights, too. And women right. need to be able to say, I'm going to kick your butt if you touch me one more time.
Let me give you another great example. Here's another great example. So I'm trying to teach him now, if he wants something really badly, he's got to start doing chores for it. He's mm-hmm. 5.5 years old now, so it's time. So he wanted this speed racer steering wheel that makes all sorts of like screechy brake noise sounds if you move it to the left, mm-hmm. and you can hear it accelerate if you move it to the right, and he was stoked about it. He's been watching Disney, and they force feed that. He had to have it. He had to have it, Dad. I gotta have it. So I'm like, okay, if you really want this, here is a list of 5 things that you can do around the house. Or let's put together a list of 5 things that you can do in order to earn that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I leave the house and I come back, and one of the chores that he has written on his list is help mommy shop. Man, what kind of chore is that? Help mommy shop. So mommy went shopping and Hayden like held the bag or something like that, and they went store to store, and I'm like, no, it's about picking up the trash. It's about, you know,
cleaning his toys,
yes.
putting his room back
right.
together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got one too. My wife.
So you think she's just too soft on him
way
all the time?
Way too soft.
And that's a real good example because.
Help mommy shop.
My son, man, no, like, Stacey. My wife, she combs the hair in the morning, gets them all together for the most part because I'm out real early. I came to the house. My son one day said, Daddy, are you going to do my hair? I said, do your hair? You mean like a hairdo? Do your hair? That's the term my wife uses. Come here, Priya. That's my daughter's name. Let me do your hair. I said, no, buddy, you don't use that term. You got to comb your hair, brush your hair, pick your hair. You don't do your hair. You know, just certain things. And the thing is, dads, we have our ears up on these type of things. You know, like my wife, she had no idea. Oh, I didn't know, dude. I didn't know. Just like Jen and Melissa looking at me crazy as far as what's
what
that?
What's the difference if he does his hair or comes right. his hair? I don't know. He's going to do
his
hair.
I just think that we just have our ears up more so for, you know, just.
Two feminine things.
Exactly.
It's not even feminine things to me. It's just things to make him.
More firm.
Well,
yeah.
I think the thing that bothers me is more so than that, semantics is just the whole idea of the winning losing thing and that the discipline and not taking responsibility for actions and not being able to stand up for yourself. There, I don't think there's anything worse than, and I do think that stereotypically it's guys, but I think it's girls too. I mean, I'm not a big fan of weak women, right. you know, as well as weak men. But if you can't stand up for yourself in a fight, and as a kid. And a lot of people don't feel, you know, fighting is wrong, whatever. But you know what? You get into scuffles. And if, mm-hmm. you know, because in our house it was don't start the fight, but you always finish that fight. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was girl or boy. Right. We had to do that.
And there's so much bullying and stuff now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
sure.
you hear about it all the time that kids are so mean. Right. I mean, we were mean in middle school, but I think that they're even more mean now.
It also, and this is probably unique to young boys also, but I'm a little sensitive to, he's a small kid. I mean, I'm 5'4". His mom is 5'1". Mm-hmm. He's never going to be a tall kid. And you could start to see it now in his class how much smaller he is. And it is tough for smaller kids. They get picked on first. It's just like right. survival
yeah,
of the fittest.
That's harder.
You know,
right.
and if you're a good athlete, it's sort of the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking at my kid right now, that's not his strong point. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to teach him that there are going to be times where kids are going to pick on you just because you're the smallest and there's something that you got to do about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And his mom is like, let's negotiate. Right. Let's have an embargo. Embargoes don't work.
Let's sit down and have a talk about it.
Good morning, John. You're on Q100. Yellow. John. Bye-bye. Good morning, Crystal. You're on Q100.
Hi. Good morning, Bert Show.
Good morning. Good morning.
I was a single mom for 5 years, and I had 2 boys. They were 1 and 3 when I got divorced, and I just got remarried last October, and they're 6 and 8. And I had to be so overly sensitive about I didn't want my kids to be mommied. Like, I wanted them to be strong and be boys and be able to go out there and not have a mom that babied them and everything else. But my younger son, who's 6, is one of those really sensitive types. And I had to teach him that, you know, he would not stand up for himself on the playground or anything else. And it got to the point where it was like, once I explained to him that he needed to stand up for other people, that's what worked for him. Like, he was very, very good about, you know, now if he sees somebody else getting picked on because he is that sensitive kid, then he'll totally stand up for them and be aggressive and everything like that, because to him it was a pause.
I think you bring up a great point, because I do think for dads, too, you have to know what you're working with. Because right. I don't think that a sensitive man is a sensitive man just because he's around his mom a lot. I think some men, just genetically or whatever, are sensitive types. And I think for some fathers, you can do some damage by being too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's got to be tough for dads, because there's a delicate balance of right. not being hard enough and then being too hard. And I think what, you know, she knew what she was. She had a child, and she recognized she had to work differently with that particular child. You mm-hmm. know, it may not work with every kid to say you have to stand up for other people, but for hers it did. So I do think for some dads, you are too tough without the women having nothing to do with it, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because just knowing, you really have to get to know your son if you're going to be that type of dad, because it's definitely a balance. And like, and for what you said, my daughters, they're not the sensitive type. My daughters, you know, they, if you take something from them, they may swing on you. You know, they're not that type, you know?
I got to cut you,
oh, yeah. They're just not having it. But my son, you know, he's a little bit more, you know, more easygoing. And so, you know, he's just more sensitive, so that's why I'm just at him all the time. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Sharona. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hi. I am a single mom as well, and I just wanted to tell you a story that happened at an indoor playground. I'm not going to name the restaurant, but my child came running to me, and he's a boy, and he's, I think, 3 at the time. And he said, "Mommy, you know, some little boy's not letting me up the stairs." He was, you know, complaining. And, you know, it's hard for me as well, being a single mom, and I don't have a male influence. His dad is not involved in the picture at all. And so I said, "Well, what you do is you go up to him and you just tell him to get out of your way." And he said, "Well, he's, you know, really, really big boy." So I went and I watched, and he started walking up the stairs, and I said, "Go ahead, tell him." And he looked at him, and the kid looked at him and kind of shoved him. And I just stood there. I didn't say a word. And I just watched my son. I was, like, there for the muscle. I was back up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my child said, he said, "Get out of my way now." And the little boy was so taken aback, he got out of the way, and my son shoved past him and went walking on up.
It's like your proudest moment right now.
Absolutely. And from then on out, he says, I don't mind mean bullies. He said, "Mommy," he said, "if they hit me one time, I'm going to hit them back."
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it was probably smart for her to stand back instead of being the mom and rushing up to him.
Because
you know?
I think the result of over-mommying is mm-hmm. hard to reverse, you know? I mean, there are a lot of kids that are over-mommied and they're, like, not potty trained for super, super long times, and they, I don't know, I just think mm-hmm. that there's, like, there's really long-term mm-hmm. effects of that. You know, agreed. Kids not being able to spend the night at a friend's house by the time they're in the fourth grade because they've never been away from mom and dad, or, right. you know what I'm saying? So, it like, the over-mommying early is going to have or overparenting, I guess I should say. But it does seem to have a tendency to be more the moms. But mm-hmm. I'm sure there are dads that do it too. But it's just got longer term effects. I mean, I remember being a kid and having people that couldn't come for sleepovers or whatever because they had to be at home with their mom.
Well, I mean, that has effects as adults. You can tell people, I mean, we talk about mama's boys all the time, but you can tell people who were overly mothered as adults because there's still that dependency on something, that, and then sometimes they translate it from their mom to you.
This article that Melissa sent me yesterday was from an author of a woman that wrote a book, and her research was done because she had kids that were in college, and she noticed all these college kids couldn't cope with what was going on in school.
Mm-hmm.
And she started doing research on exactly why, and it turned out that most of the kids that were dropping out were raised by these helicopter parents that were always on top of them and mm-hmm. always just sort of like making sure everything was okay, making sure they were in a league where there were no winners and no losers and the playing field was even for everybody. The kids got out in the real world. They were at 2 semesters at Tennessee, and they couldn't handle it anymore.
Right, right. And she, you know, one of the things they also talk about are just like scrapes and bruises. Like a kid that's growing up with no cuts, no broken arms, no anything, are these adults that just are unable to handle situations like Bert said. And it is. I mean, you got to let them get cut. You got to let them have a scab. You got to let them have a scar. You got to let them have a broken arm.
And it's like the reactions to those things, too, because I have lots of friends that are young parents or whatever, mm-hmm. and some of them will, you know, run over and, "Oh my gosh, she just fell," and take care of her, whatever. Other ones are just like, clap and they're like, good job, yay, you know?
The most stressed out you'll ever be at, as a parent is watching your kid on a playground.
Right.
Because it's so dangerous. But you got to let them fall off the monkey bars. Mm-hmm. You got to let them fall off those things. And you can see it happening before it happens.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. Take your lumps, boy. But here it comes.
Ooh. Some of my friends, when their kids fall down, they go, safe.
The Bird Show.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.